Well, to Haiti now, where it's fair to say the turmoil is tipping into collapse. The UN says February was likely the most violent month the country has experienced in the last 2 years. Tens of thousands of people fleeing the capital, many now starving, as powerful gangs who've long roamed the streets now control the streets of Port-au-Prince. They have for nearly a month. Their prime minister, Ariel Henry, is in exile out of the country. He's promised to step down as soon as a council is in place to appoint a new leader. But James Foley, former U.S. ambassador to Haiti from 2003 to 2005, has just published in the Washington Post an article that makes the case for the U.S. military to intervene. Ambassador Foley, welcome back.
Thank you, Rob.
And to be clear, you say the situation has deteriorated to the point where Biden, President Biden, might have no choice but to mount an abbreviated operation. Describe that operation. What are you envisioning?
Well, I'm envisaging a limited force that can enable the UN or international forces led by Kenyan police to enter the country. My concern is that given the firepower of the gangs, that you need some trained military force, at least in the initial stages, to as a kind of a cover and to provide logistic support, intelligence support, and some firepower just to enable the police force, international police force, to get in there, but also to stand up the transitional presidential council. These newly named members are at enormous risk in a capital that is almost entirely controlled by criminal gangs. So just for their own safety, in order to facilitate forward progress on new political arrangements that are desperately needed, I believe you need some U.S. Military support. I would imagine it could be quite limited and in very short duration. Yeah. And I would love to be proven wrong and to see that it will be possible to get the Kenyans in and stand up the interim government without U.S. Assistance. I fully sympathize with the Biden administration's reluctance. But my own conviction is that it won't be possible to avoid the worst outcome in Haiti without some limited, brief U.S. military footprint.
Right. Well, and, you know, the Biden administration is also navigating Israel's war in Gaza, Russia's war in Ukraine. But in addition, you know that many of our listeners right now are saying slippery slope. You know, that's the phrase that comes up. You say, you know, a small intervention and suddenly it's Afghanistan or Iraq. And, you know, suddenly it's the site of Marines actually shooting Haitians in gangs, because these are pretty violent gangs. So take us back, because you know more than anybody mistakes that can be made. You were ambassador during the fall of former President Aristide. At that time, you got heads of different, political parties, also leaders in civil society in Haiti, to sit at a table. You got Secretary of State Colin Powell to call in with an offer for U.S. support. It was turned down, although Aristide did accept U.S. help to get him out of the country as a warlord, you know, marched on the Capitol to depose him. What have we learned from this history? Because some would say an intervention now that might lead to a more interlocking without Haitians having control over their own destiny, which you've also said they should take responsibility for, that this could blow up in our face?
Well, I say this as a last resort. It is not the optimal path forward, but things have deteriorated to this point. I believe my opinion is that the administration really backed the current outgoing prime minister for too long, and that we might have been able to strike a deal that could have avoided such a scenario 1-2 years ago. But this is where we are. And the story that I lived through that you mentioned 20 years ago was only ended peacefully because there was a U.S. intervention. And I think it is a template in a sense, because it wasn't a slippery slope. We didn't get stuck there. We stayed 3-4 months and handed it over to the UN forces. I don't think we would need to stay 3 or 4 months, but in any case, I believe it could be limited in duration. I do not believe, and our military experience in Haiti 2-3 times in the last several decades demonstrates that a little U.S. firepower goes a long way to making the gangs disappear.
You've also written in past writing which I really enjoyed your writing on this, that they also will go quiet for a while if they think that there's a force against them. But let me ask you, do you think any of the gangs, are they more, you know, cartels? Are they legitimate, you know, opposition leaders among them? And what about the council? Just briefly, we spoke to Widlor Marincor. He's following the story for The Washington Post. He said Haitians, he's speaking to, don't trust the council. So very briefly, we only have about a minute here, who gets to be part of this future?
Well, I believe that the group that was representing a broad range of civil society called the Montana Group was a broad base and legitimate grouping that that unfortunately we were not supporting, I think, sufficiently a couple years ago. But nonetheless, the Transitional Presidential Council has wide representation. I believe that across civil society, as well as the political spectrum, business community, the religious community, they are represented there. This is a Haitian process, and I believe the U.S. is doing the right thing by keeping the Haitians in the lead. And I don't believe a military intervention would preface a foreign hand or diktat, or it certainly should not. We need to support the Haitian police and let the Haitians determine their own destiny.
James Foley, former U.S. ambassador to Haiti. We'll link you to his article at herenow.org. Ambassador, thank you.
Thank you, Robin.